How do you do? The man in the following story was extremely impulsive, which led to acts of self-destruction. At one point, his condition was diagnosed as bipolar, a chemical imbalance in his brain. He had no idea why he couldn't control his wild impulses, but they led to a ghastly addiction. As it turned out, there was an emotional imbalance and a spiritual imbalance as well. Today, however, he has peace, and all because his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Be there, Benny. Be there.
Hello?
Benny. It's me, Lloyd Glickstein.
Lloyd, where are you?
In Cleveland, Benny. I wanted to see you again before going on to Chicago.
You still in the Army?
No. I got my discharge almost a month ago. I've been in New York having a ball with our buddy Cliff Fair.
Oh, yeah.
He formed a tap dance trio. They're outstanding. They introduced me to Benny Goodman, Danny Thomas, Louis Armstrong.
No fooling!
Yeah, it was great. I'm on my way home to Chicago, and I thought maybe we could get together.
Can you get to my house?
Well, I'm broke, Benny. I can't go anywhere. I hitchhiked from Harrisburg. Spent the night on a bench in the train station. Would you believe?
I'll pick you up.
This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in broadcasting history. True life stories of real people. Dramatized and produced before a live audience in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Ragged, hungry, and downcast is the way many homeless people come to Pacific Garden Mission. After showers and haircuts, a nourishing meal, fresh clothing, and a good night's sleep in a safe bunk, you wouldn't recognize most of them. And all these material provisions are offered without charge, thanks to friends whose financial gifts help to keep the doors open day and night at the old lighthouse. But the biggest change happens when those living in darkness come to the light of the world, the one who offers new life, a future with hope instead of despair. And that's been the purpose at Pacific Garden Mission since 1877. And that's what this radio drama celebrates. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2801 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Excuse my appearance, Benny. Sleeping on a bench is something I don't recommend.
You must be tired, Lloyd.
Yeah, a little. I never stopped while I was in New York. Restaurants, theater, dancing. You should have seen the dance floor clear out when my date and I started jitterbugging. The Roosevelt Hotel is classy, and Benny Goodman's orchestra is fantastic.
Sounds like you had a great time.
Yeah, but now I'm broke, and I still have to get to Chicago.
Oh, you can stay with us, and I'll lend you the money for train fare.
Hey, you're a stand-up guy, Benny. I'll pay you back.
That was one example of an impulsive act in the life of the man in our story. He had served in the Army during World War II, where his impulsive behavior had led to two courts-martial. In spite of them, he worked to earn an honorable discharge, but his troubles were just beginning. This is the true story of Lloyd Glickstein right now on Unshackled.
I was an only child born into an Orthodox Jewish family living in a large hotel in Chicago. We lived a luxurious lifestyle and I lacked nothing, including special attention from all of my maternal and paternal family members. I attended Hebrew school from age 8 until 1 year past my bar mitzvah, and had better than average grades in high school while excelling in swimming and baseball. I had finished a year of college when I joined the Army in 1943 at the age of 19, which freed me from my mother's domineering ways. Most people go home when they're discharged. Not me. I went to New York and partied with friends until the money ran out. Dad wired me train fare, but I spent that too. He met me at the train station in Chicago and saw my condition, and within a week, Dad took me to the hospital.
Lloyd, I'm Dr. Bernard, your psychiatrist. How are you feeling?
Exhausted. But I've been on the go ever since I was discharged, but it was worth it.
Are you always so energetic?
Nah, it must be a reaction to getting out of the army.
How was your time in the service?
Oh, I made some great friends, but I was court-martialed twice.
Would you like to tell me about that?
Yeah, sure, why not? The first time was for disobeying a direct order from the major, and the second time for going AWOL. 6 months in the stockade and reduction in rank each time.
Hmm. Why'd you persist?
Well, in some ways, it was a challenge, you know, similar to gambling, like taking risks.
When did you realize this?
Well, I went along with my dad from the age of about 6 to sporting events and the racetracks where gambling was quite an influence. I developed the habit as I got older.
How'd you feel about losing rank?
I figured I'd better cooperate with my fellow enlisted men and obey officers, even if I felt superior to them.
Did you feel superior to them?
Some, but I also made great friends. I was assigned to the special service company that provided war progress information, athletic and entertainment for officers and other men at the base. I visited one in Cleveland, and he took me out to dinner and put me up for the night.
Did you like your assignment?
Yes. I'm really an inspiring actor and writer. My closest friend, Cliff, is a talented entertainer with a promising career. I went to New York to see him before coming home. The time served in the Army was great, and I was close to many of the officers, too.
Tell me about your relationship with your parents, Lloyd.
Well, Dad works hard. He's a wonderful father. He's always treated me like he's a millionaire. My dad owns a shoe store on Lincoln Avenue. Mom doesn't work, except for telling us what to do.
Do you resent that?
She's overprotective. You know, domineering. I love the Army because I felt liberated. Imagine that. Even with all those rules, I felt free.
Lloyd, I'm going to give you an injection that'll help you get some rest.
The doctor treated me for 6 weeks with insulin therapy, which left me lethargic and with no idea what had happened or why. My parents took me for a vacation to Yellowstone as I gradually got my energy back. In the fall, I returned to college, majoring in English. I had to read the book of Matthew as an assignment. It had a profound impact on me at the time, but the seeds lay dormant for many years. 2 years later, as graduation approached, I was in my second manic period. I would spend many hours on the south side of Chicago, visiting clubs and feeling euphoric as I listened to jam sessions.
What are your plans when you graduate, Lloyd?
I don't know, Dad. I like the campus atmosphere. I can get a job as an assistant instructor in the English department.
That won't pay anything.
Maybe not, but I like to write and I want to get into drama.
You can do better than that. With the money you saved in the Army and what I put aside, we can open another shoe store. It'll be your store.
I don't know if I'd like that, Dad.
Come on, Lloyd, be sensible. You can earn a lot more money working with me.
All right, Dad, all right. Can I borrow the car for a few hours?
Sure. Be back in time for the graduation ceremony. Where have you been, Lloyd?
At a jam session, Dad. What a great bunch of musicians. Improvisation. You wouldn't believe how good they are.
You completely missed your graduation ceremony.
Oh, you're right. I forgot all about it.
What is the matter with you, son?
It just slipped my mind, that's all.
Who can forget their own graduation? 25 years old and still you don't think about other people.
I went to work with Dad, but we didn't open the store right away. I was so bored that I decided to take a vacation. I took $400 from the till, left Dad a note, and flew to Los Angeles, hoping to land a big part in a movie or to be an extra. On an impulse, I traveled by bus to Las Vegas, since Vegas had no airport then. I gambled a month until the money ran out. Dad wired money for me to fly home, and when I missed the connection in Kansas City, he had the police there pick me up and escort me to the airport the next day. He met me at Chicago's Midway Airport.
You've lost so much weight, Lloyd. I can tell you didn't sleep much.
I was too busy having a good time, Dad.
What in the world were you thinking?
What's wrong with taking a vacation?
The way you did it. You have poor judgment, son. What you did was wrong. Can't you see that?
I want to do what I want for a change. I'm tired of living by other people's expectations.
You worry your mother to death, disappearing like that.
What's the idea of putting me in jail?
It was for your own good, Lloyd. Safekeeping, so you wouldn't disappear again.
It was a lousy thing to do.
I'm taking you straight to the hospital. Maybe Dr. Bernard can talk some sense into you.
So you went to Las Vegas, too. Now, that was quite an adventure, Lloyd.
You been there? It's thrilling, Doc. I found a cheap room in a poker game. 7-card stud. And I played until I was ground down to nothing. Boy, it was fun. I'd still be there, but one of the guys persuaded me it was hopeless.
What was hopeless?
Winning. I know I can do it. They kept saying, "Go home, kid." I didn't want to call Dad and listen to a lecture, so I had one of the guys call him. That man actually drove me back to L.A. and put me on a plane. What a guy. And you know what my father did? He had the Kansas City police put me in jail and take me to the airport the next day.
And this upsets you.
I'm not a kid. They have no right to keep interfering in my life. I'm tired of being told what to do and what not to do. This is my life.
Well, I've noticed that their visits seem to upset you, Lloyd, so no more visitors.
I never received drugs for my disorder, but my sessions with the doctor were effective. I calmed down, spending 4 months in the hospital. After I was allowed visitors, Sylvia, a woman I had dated, came to visit me with a bunch of violets, and we grew close. I moved into an apartment to get away from my nagging mother, but spent most nights with Sylvia. We were married in November 1949, and I tried to settle into a family life. My compulsion for gambling increased after our daughter and son were born, and every 3 or 4 years, my manic tendencies sent me into therapy.
You say your gambling compulsion has hit a new low. What do you mean, Lloyd?
Well, I took the family to a carnival, and while the wife and kids were on the rides, I fell for this game that's impossible to win. And then I stupidly gave the guy my business card. He came to the store and got me to play the game some more. I can't believe I fell for it. It's like I want to get taken.
And how does that insight make you feel?
Like a patsy. Nobody wants to lose. But I couldn't seem to say no, and now I owe him hundreds of dollars. I don't know what to do about it. I feel cornered.
Hello, Lloyd. How's business?
Not too good right now.
Expensive shoes.
Yeah, these are the best.
With an inventory like this, you should be able to pay your debts, Lloyd.
I've been giving you hundreds of dollars.
But you still owe me.
I have a family to think about.
Not my problem. The big boys are getting impatient, and I have to answer to them.
I don't like being threatened.
Then I'll tell you what we'll do. How much is this inventory worth?
All of it?
Only the good ones.
About $5,000?
All you have to do at closing time is turn out the lights one night, but leave the back door unlocked. We'll take the shoes and split the money with you.
Thinking his scheme would get me out of the financial bind I was in, I fell for his scam. 2 days later, he called and said the police were on to them and they had to dump the shoes in the Chicago River. I'd been duped again. Worse yet, a persistent detective kept coming to the store to question me. I was afraid to go to the police, afraid I'd be killed. In desperation, I took all the store's cash receipts one day and bought a plane ticket to Mexico City.
What happens to a man who runs away like that? We'll hear in just a moment. Since 1950, when Unshackled first went on the air, thousands of testimonies have been broadcast, and each one is available on cassette. Many are also available on CD. Each one of these Unshackled stories is listed in our Ministry Resources catalog. This catalog, alphabetized by name, tells the year the story was produced and includes a brief description of the subject matter as well as the production number. With this handy catalog, you can order a cassette that deals with a specific problem. And there's no charge for the Ministry Resources catalog. It's free, so just write and ask for the latest issue. You'll find a brief history of this award-winning radio drama and instructions on how to submit a testimony for Unshackled. You can order Unshackled comic books, booklets, and books that will inspire every reader. What a resource at your fingertips, ready to order gifts or materials that will help you to help others who are struggling with issues. Just write and ask for your free copy of our Ministry Resources catalog in the address Simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Mexico City, I changed all my dollars into pesos and tried to put fear and guilt out of my mind. I spent my days at bullfights or the racetrack and my evenings at movies and bars. Within 3 weeks, my money was running low. I went into a bar one night and paid for a tequila. But later, the bartender claimed I hadn't paid. I became enraged at his scam, and two policemen hauled me off to jail for 8 days. You can imagine my surprise when Sylvia and her brother arrived and the authorities set me free. Boy, am I glad to see you guys.
I can't believe you pulled a stunt like this, Lloyd. What were you doing in jail?
A dispute with a bartender. How did you know where to find me?
Oh, well, you sent your doctor a telegram before you left, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, strange you'd be so considerate of him and not of your own family.
I thought you'd understand.
I don't understand, Lloyd. How can you just take off without telling us where you're going? Your parents worried, thinking that you were dead somewhere, and the kids are traumatized.
I'm sorry, honey. Things just got to me.
We've been here a week trying to find you. You think this was fun? What you did was crazy, Lloyd. Just crazy.
They took me back to Chicago, and my doctor put me in the Chicago State Hospital. It took 3 months for me to calm down. Our marriage struggled after that, mostly over finances. In 1962, I tried a different job as a factory rep for a shoe company, but the excessive travel burned out the car's transmission. So I went back to the shoe store. After 18 years together, our marriage had grown cold.
You know, we need new furniture in here.
There's nothing wrong with what we have.
It's old and dated, just like us.
Speak for yourself.
We could afford new things if you didn't go off on wild trips and gamble.
I haven't done that for years, Sylvia. Besides, your spending habits would keep anybody broke.
You find ways to gamble, and I know it. How else do you explain our lack of money?
Well, maybe I have a girlfriend.
Yeah, who would have you?
A girl at the bank, for one. She's been a real friend to me, which is more than I can say for you.
You're having an affair? I knew it.
It's not really an affair, Sylvia. We're just friends, someone to talk to.
Yeah, that's what they all say. You cheat. I'm not putting up with that. I'm seeing a lawyer.
Using my own words against me, my wife got a divorce in 1968. With nothing to stop me, I turned all of my attention to gambling and lost a lot of money. Even so, I paid child support steadily and Sylvia went to work at a hospital. In 1971, my father died. I couldn't have known the anguish I would experience by his death. About the same time, my son was hospitalized with a football injury.
Well, I'm glad you continue to visit our son.
The doctor says he has a broken femur.
Yeah, it'll take a long time to heal.
He's tough.
I was sorry to hear about your father's death, Lloyd.
You don't realize how much you're going to miss your parents until they're gone.
I have a good job now, so you don't have to send extra money if you don't have it.
The store's doing great. I made some good investments, plus I inherited a chunk of cash from Dad. So money's not a problem.
In the old days, you would have gambled it away. I guess you've changed.
I think so, Sylvia. So have you. Neither one of us had changed, but we remarried 3 years after our divorce. The second marriage lasted 5 years before Sylvia divorced me again. Once again, over claims of infidelity that weren't true. A bachelor with no desire to ever remarry, I lived for weekend trips to Las Vegas where I gambled to my heart's content. But I always came back to the store where I had banner years with unprecedented profits that I invested. In 1982, I met and married Rose. Her family was religious, but I had forsaken the faith of my parents long ago and it meant nothing to me. I sold the shoe store a year later and went to work for others. I was still gambling and jeopardizing all of our assets. After 5 years, Rose laid down the law.
Lloyd, we cannot go on like this. That last trip to Las Vegas really set us back. Just when we need the money to get another place.
I thought there was enough from the sale of your parents' apartment building.
Not when it's split with my siblings and not when you gamble it away. You have no right to waste our money like that.
I'm sorry, Rose.
Sorry doesn't make it. We're not getting any younger, you know. I won't grow old, impoverished, because of your gambling addiction. Either you locate a counseling group for your addiction, or we're finished.
Dr. Bernard?
It's Lloyd Glickstein, Doctor.
Lloyd, I haven't heard from you in a while. How are you doing?
Well, we're living in Round Lake now, and it's a long drive to Chicago.
You working, Lloyd?
One job after another. I bet I've had 10 jobs in the last 5 years, and no car. The transmission went out on mine, and we couldn't afford another one, so I walked to work.
You're doing okay, though.
Yeah, I have a good wife, Doctor. She took care of my mother until Mom died. I had so many medical bills, I had to file for bankruptcy.
You've had a rough time, Lloyd.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't wasted so much money gambling. I'm better now because I found an organization that helps gamblers.
I'm glad to hear that, Lloyd. Do you hear from your children?
No. They pretty much gave up on me. I really don't blame them.
It's good to hear from you, Lloyd. You call me anytime.
I went 8 years without gambling before my last trip to Las Vegas in 1995. My wife's health was worsening by then, and the bills mounted because of medical expenses. We finally got relief through a program for low-income people. One afternoon in the spring of 1997, I went for a walk and noticed a yard sale.
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Sure is.
Are you looking for anything special?
No, just out for a walk and saw your sign.
I'm Aaron Barrett. I pastor a church nearby.
Nice to meet you, Aaron. I'm Lloyd Glickstein. My wife and her family are religious, but I was raised an Orthodox Jew. In fact, while Mom was in the hospital giving birth to me, Dad was in a synagogue because it was the first day of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, I ministered to Jews in Skokie for 10 years. Do you go to a synagogue nearby, Lloyd?
Nah, I gave up on that religious business a long time ago. I'm 73 now, too old to take it up again.
You might be surprised.
You know, I read the entire Gospel of Matthew once when I was in college. I was required reading for English class. At the time, I thought it was very inspiring. I got an A on the paper I wrote about it.
There's a lot of wisdom in the Bible.
Yeah, maybe I should read more of it.
Wisdom is hard won in life.
I haven't won any so far, and I gambled for years.
Here's my business card, Lloyd. Come to one of our services sometime.
I had no intention of ever going to his church. Several years passed and my wife's condition got worse. She left the house only to go to her doctor's appointment. One night, she woke me up at 2 a.m.
Lloyd? Lloyd, wake up!
What is it, honey? Are you in pain?
No, I had a dream. It was so real, Lloyd. God wants you for himself. Come here and kneel down by me.
Yeah, sure. Good night, honey. I'm not interested in whatever God wants.
Please, Lloyd, please do this for me.
All right, if it means that much to you.
I ask God to forgive you. He wants you to be his son. Confess your sin to him and ask him to be your Lord and Savior.
God, would you forgive me for my sins? I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Although I had prayed just to appease Rose, I started thinking about God and that pastor I had met 3 years previously. Even the things that I had read in Matthew so long ago began to fill my thoughts. I wondered what it all meant. I visited the pastor again, and he gave me a pamphlet and invited me to service any Sunday. A few weeks later, I went. Then I started going intermittently, every 2 to 4 weeks. By June, I was going every Sunday.
Your sins, my friends, are what you haven't done, as much as what you have done.
Yeah.
If you haven't come to God in repentance, then you are separated from God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it is that separation that causes you to sin.
Yeah.
The Bible declares in Psalm 14, verse 3,
ah.
They're all gone aside.
Mm-hmm.
They're all together become filthy.
Yes.
There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
Yeah.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Amen.
That's what Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah hundreds of years before Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sins. Christ fulfilled that prophecy.
Amen.
He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
If you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart, there's no better time than now. His blood alone cleanses us from all sin.
As I sat listening to the preacher and thinking about my past, my sins felt heavier and heavier. The convictions were overwhelming.
More than once during my visits, I shook the preacher's hand afterward with tears in my eyes. God was calling this old sinner back to his roots. I saw that there was only one Messiah for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who died for the sins of the world, and more specifically, he died for my sins. In September 2000, 2 days before my 77th birthday, I came to Jesus for salvation, and he washed me by his blood and clothed me in his righteousness forever. I couldn't wait to tell Rose. Rose! Rose, you'll never guess what happened.
You'll have to tell me, Lloyd.
I got saved today.
Oh.
I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
I'm so glad.
He's my Messiah.
I've seen a change in you ever since you started going to church.
All of those Jewish Orthodox teachings and prayers, they're all about the Messiah. And that's Jesus. No doubt about it.
Yes.
I even memorized a Bible verse.
Yeah?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's wonderful. You even look different, Lloyd. More relaxed. You've stopped gambling and even quit smoking, and now you have a new life in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The best part is, I feel as if a great weight has been lifted. I feel free. Rose passed away April 23rd, 2003, 3 years after I was saved. My life is so different now. I wish my children knew. I lost their love and respect years ago by my selfishness. But I want to cry out to them. I'm not the same since I found Jesus. Won't you come to him too?
Listening friend, the gift of salvation and eternal life is for you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you need counsel in making this life-changing decision for Christ, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and visit our website at unshackled.org. This is program number 2801, heard in the true story of Lloyd Glickstein, where Mike Baccarella, Jake Rademacher, Belinda Bremner, Brad Armacost, Kim Rasmussen, and Mickey O'Donnell. Original music, Don Badorf, sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Hearing from you is important to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. In a crisis, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. Area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.